This is Jim Burke, and this is County Connections, and I'm here with my co-host, Greg Brotherton, and we have as a guest today Al Cairns, Solid Waste Manager of Jefferson County. So hello, fellas.
Hi. Thanks so much for having us, Jim.
Sure. Thank you for being here. Wow. Greg, why don't you start us off since I'm still trying to troubleshoot this issue here.
Sure. And I want to make one announcement first, and then I'll introduce Al, who I've had the pleasure of knowing since I first moved to Jefferson County. But we have an exciting meeting coming up Monday evening, the 26th at 6 p.m. down at the Port's Pavilion on Port Hudson, where we are welcoming with the city and the port and the PUD, the author Greg Colburn from Seattle, who has written a book called Homelessness is a Housing Problem. And we're going to have a conversation with him and a presentation by him about really policy solutions to some of the housing issues and kind of a different way of framing the problem. One example that he used in his book that I thought was really illustrative is when people think about homelessness, they often think, you know, well, it's because of SUD or because of mental health issues. And I guess a common example in the housing circles is a game of musical chairs, where one person's, you know, you got 10 people playing musical chairs, you take one chair away, one of the folks is on crutches, so they inevitably lose the game when one chair is taken away and they don't get a chair. They don't not have a chair because of the crutches, but they did lose the game. But the reason he doesn't have a chair is because you took one of the chairs away, and there's not enough chairs for everyone. So I look forward to having Greg and his perspectives, really data-driven perspectives, on Monday. But
Monday at what time?
At 6 p.m.
At 6 p.m. at the Point Hudson Pavilion.
At the Point Hudson Pavilion.
All right.
Yeah, thanks, I look forward to seeing people there. All but right. Today I'm glad to be joined by Al Cairns, who I first met when I moved to South County in 2011. And he was the solid waste manager back then and doing a really creative, I thought, program about dealing with food diversion and food waste, and had a program to bring and teach people how to use cedar worm bins to deal with their food waste. A cedar worm bin that I got through that program we are still using to turn our food waste into good dark soil that we use to enrich our garden. So really appreciate the creativity and the data-driven approach that Al has brought back to solid waste. And he's our manager again, and we're going through some big work down in solid waste, both in capital planning, and we have a hearing this coming Monday at 10 a.m. to talk about the fees at solid waste.
That's so right. Yeah, a lot happening. And probably to start on that planning process, we're presently, and anybody that's been at our transfer station recently, certainly on a Tuesday, could probably attest that we're quite obviously over capacity. We're running at about 54% over design capacity of the transfer station on average. Wow. Some days are certainly better too. Arrive at the transfer station if you must. Thursdays and Fridays are our lightest customer count days, but Tuesdays are really pushing us beyond our ability to keep up with the flow there. So we're addressing that in a long-range planning process, looking at what kind of facility we should invest in creating, whether that new facility be a remake of the current facility at its current location or a facility with other features at a different location. And so we've involved a 20-member task force, Board of County Commissioner appointed task force members, a broad array of local talent that we can draw upon, including some of our Solid Waste Advisory Committee members, as well as citizen representatives of the art community, the industry, and so we're working with that group in conjunction with VICEC Environmental Engineers, a small boutique firm out of Edmonds that specializes in solid waste facility design. And so as an integrated unit between Public Works staff, the task force, and the consultant, we should arrive at a recommendation later this year, early in January of next year, that we'll present to the Board of County Commissioners. And that recommendation will include what the facility should do, what its functions should be, where it should be located, and how we'll finance it.
And there's also a survey, isn't there, that people can fill out? Is it online?
It is online, and you can find that at jeffersoncountyfacilityreplacement.com.
Oh, okay. jeffersoncountyfacilityreplacement.com.
That's it.
For our listeners. By the way, for our listeners, if you do want to write in, you can write to DJ at KPGZ. The computer glitches have been worked out, so now we can receive email, and I can actually operate the computer, which is great. And I probably sound a lot more relaxed now. So why don't we continue? Greg, I'm sure you have plenty of questions for Al that will help our listeners reduce their waste and figure out what to do with it going forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And I think it's kind of instructive when we're thinking about a new solid waste facility, a restructured one, to talk about what levels of service are and what people can expect from solid waste and you know, some of the myths that people bring. You know, we all think about recycling as something that's free, but it involves a lot of choices that we make as a community, right?
It's only been made free by the entities that provide it in order to encourage people to do it.
I mean, it's made free by garbage, I think. Right? I don't know, maybe Al can go into more about certainly really what the cost
breakdown. By charging
more
for garbage, you can make recycling quote-unquote free.
Well, it's a curious proposition, right, to run an enterprise fund, which our solid waste program is, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a county or a government-run business. Mm-hmm. And like any business, it has to have financial reserves to stay healthy. It has to keep up with operations and maintenance. This is a tricky business to be in because any day we're having to adjust our program in accord with six or more different agencies' recommendations or requirements. So wow. There's a lot of regulatory oversight over the operation. And then, of course, you have to offer a level of service on balance with what you charge for garbage disposal. Right. Because that tipping fee for garbage disposal funds everything else in the program, whether that's household hazardous waste collection events, solid waste education, like on composting, and certainly our recycling program, which is, you know, over $500,000 a year investment into operating that program. So if we were to remove the recycling program as a financial burden on the tipping fee, it would reduce the tipping fee by about $15 a ton. So that's how significant an impact running a recycling program is. Right. One of the illusions that a lot of our customers have is that somehow their taxes fund the program. And that's one myth that I'd really like to explode. 99.6% of all of our operating funds comes from the tipping fee, with the balance of less than 0.5% coming from grants.
Wow.
So again, everything that incorporates or that's incorporated in our solid waste program is funded entirely from those transactions over the scales.
Mm-hmm. And can you talk a little bit about the volatility of the market and the fact that it is a market, about the material reclamation and you know, the different glasses versus plastics and, mm-hmm. and some of the choices that have been in front of you guys in SWAC and the county?
Yeah, it's quite a roller coaster ride if you're following the commodities markets for recyclables. They will go from really the best day you can have in terms of commodity markets for recyclables is where you lost the least amount of money. There's no profit margin in it. We were hopeful, maybe naively hopeful, that the RAP Act might get passed in the last state legislative session. That would have put the cost burden on collection and reclamation of recyclables on the industries that produce those single-use containers. It died a horrible death in committee, never saw the light of day. From what we understand, both the waste transport industry and the Chemical Manufacturing Association sent an army of lobbyists there to make sure that the cost burden was not hoisted on the people that are profiting from the sale of those materials.
What a surprise.
Shocking.
Wow. This is still KPTZ in Port Townsend, and I'm still Jim Burke, and I'm here with my co-host Greg Brotherton and Al Cairns, the solid waste manager for Jefferson County.
And maybe we should talk about some of the limitations. Well, first, the exceptional level of service that we do offer in Jefferson County, which is a really small area. You know, our solid waste team was fantastic throughout the pandemic. You know, while much larger counties were had to shut down their transfer stations and everything, we stayed open. Wow. And but we have a real bottleneck at the transfer station at Jacob Miller, you know, with just one lane in, one lane out, and a combination of wetlands and property lines really preventing the expansion of that. So it's a literal bottleneck that can create impacts to level of service. And I think this is one of the big reasons, as well as staffing, that we shut down on Mondays for residential traffic. And that's really to improve the level of service and also make sure that our staff out there could, you know, get a break and get training and take care of some of the other projects that surround just, you know, managing the flow of waste coming in.
Right.
But I don't know, Al, can you lay out the problem statement that's in front of us for capital planning as we go into the next generation, and then maybe talk about some of the ways that municipalities can pay for that, the mm-hmm. improved facilities?
Certainly. So as mentioned, capacity is one of our biggest concerns right now, and that overcapacity relates directly to longer wait times. So customer dissatisfaction is growing. We did try to affect some demand management, and it appears to be successful. Certainly, there's kind of a hidden benefit to limiting self-haul customers to just 5 days a week instead of the six that we had been operating. We've been able to catch up on a long list of deferred maintenance, so fewer longer wait times due to equipment failure certainly is a benefit to our customers. We're able to do more preventative maintenance of the essential equipment there on Mondays as well. Staff development, we've got everybody trained up again. It's really helpful to have those Mondays to be able to focus on developing new staff. We've got, four of our six operators out there have been with us for less than a year. So we've got a very green crew out there. They're doing a great job, and they're learning quickly. Hopefully by September, perhaps with the rollout of a new fee schedule, we'll be ready to add some hours on the front side of those five operating days. With the crew that we have now looking at their trajectory of, in terms of their skill level, we think that we might be able to replace some of those hours lost on Mondays throughout the rest of the week, Tuesday through Saturday schedule at the front end of the facilities operation.
That's great.
Yeah. So in terms of funding a project like a new transfer station, there's a number of grants that we could go after. We're looking at the Public Works account. Obviously, that's been made available to projects for solid waste now. I just got some training on the new opportunity there within that fund. The Department of Ecology has some limited funding. Or there's a government issue bond. And that's maybe a good segue into what staff is presenting to the board next Monday at a public hearing, followed by a potential adoption of a resolution for the fee schedule revisions. And that is that our current funding, our fund balance is predicated on two different benchmarks, one for operating costs, projected annual operating costs, and one for a cash reserve balance based on the value of the replacement value, I should say, of the current facility assets. Staff feels that neither of those benchmarks are adequate or fiscally prudent, and so we've asked to raise the capital replacement balance percentage from 12% to 25%, and the same for our operating and maintenance fund as well, to move from 15% to 25%, or in other words, one full quarter of operating costs on hand. And it's prudent to do that because a lot of the equipment that we operate has long lead times and is very expensive. So front-end loader would probably cost us about between $500,000 and $600,000 if it were to not work tomorrow, and we would need it the following day as well.
Right.
So that's why if you look at our fund balances, they may seem very large, but the reason for that is that it's a very expensive operation to operate.
Right.
And with regard to the capital fund balance, we'd like to move that from 12% to 25% because we think that if we do that over 5 to 6 years with gradual increases to the tipping fee, that'll pay a large dividend for our customers because they won't be, we will have obviated 25% of the debt service on that bond or loan.
Wow, yeah.
So it's,
Which will save money down the road.
A lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, and debt service doesn't produce anything of any tangible good.
That's good.
So the more you can spend down. And there are a number of facilities that actually funded new transfer stations at 100% out of cash reserves.
Wow.
Now, they were budgeting for a much longer period than we have available to us. And we also don't want to overburden our customers with a significant increase to build up that reserve.
Because they might just start burying it in their backyard.
Well, that's been something of a canard. That whenever anyone intimates adjusting the fees upward, we hear all sorts of grave warnings about.
I'll just burn it.
Yeah. And it never seems to actually materialize.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
So
people are conscientious about that, at least in Jefferson County, they seem to be. I'm curious about something, though, because last week there was a sort of a shutdown because of a maintenance. One of the trucks was in the shop for maintenance while somebody was away, and the other truck was broke.
That's right, with Skookum Contract Services.
Yeah.
That's our contracted recycler.
But that's not the same thing as Olympic, who picks up the stuff from the street?
No, it's not.
Yeah, because one of their trucks broke down in my neighborhood the other day.
Oh, I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, it was on Tuesday, my usual day, and I'm driving home, and it's like, oh, I guess they're not going to pick up my recycling or my garbage. I'm not sure which. I think they had already gotten the garbage somebody had. And I looked at the recycling bin, sure enough. So I just left that out an extra day, and they picked it up the next morning. But they were underneath the truck working on it. It's like, oh, no, that's a bad day, especially in this weather. All right. A side note. Thank you, Olympic Disposal, for fixing your truck and picking up my recycling.
And we love curbside garbage service and recycling.
Fantastic.
We want to encourage it, out in the county as we go into one of the more contentious proposals in the fees adjustments that we've heard so far. And we, again, just to remind people, we're having a hearing on Monday at 10 a.m. at the Chambers.
Monday at 10 a.m. at Jefferson County, the Board of County Commissioners.
At the courthouse or online, and we would love to hear your inputs. One of the big issues that folks have is raising the minimum from $10 up to $20. And there's a lot of reasons to do this. A lot of it is load management and making sure that people aren't bringing those, one bag of garbage or one can of garbage. But because that just creates a lower level of service for everybody.
Yeah, it slows down the whole line.
A lot of people do that.
Yeah.
So it's, it's a recommendation of staff that makes a lot of intuitive sense to me, but we do want to hear from folks on Monday about
the only
concerns.
Time I go there is like I've got railroad ties in my yard and I'm cutting them up and throwing them away because there's nothing else to do with them because they're full of creosote and bugs. So I take them to the transfer station, and then I also take excess recycling over there too when I can. Just cleaning out, after the pandemic.
Please go on a Thursday or Friday.
I try to do that, actually. I try to go later in the week and later in the day whenever I can. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it's good to know, too, what the waste stream looks like after it leaves Jefferson County, too. I mean, can you tell us where does this creosote railroad tie from Jim's house go after it comes to the tipping floor?
Well, it goes 350 miles away. It goes to Klickitat County.
Klickitat.
Which is on the Columbia River.
Uh-huh.
That's the regional landfill that we use.
It's
owned by Republic Services, which also is our contract long haul service provider.
Right.
And so it's quite a distance to go. The regional model is kind of brought upon the state, kind of as part of GMA, with the Department of Ecology really kind of spearheading that initiative to get away from smaller, less regulated or well-built or constructed small landfills into a regional model, it's easier.
So there's really no landfill on the Olympic Peninsula?
Just our closed one here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. How long have we been monitoring that? That's like
It's in its 32nd year of monitoring. We hope to be done with the groundwater monitoring program at the end of this year.
Where is that located?
It's right behind the current transfer station.
Oh, wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So there's like those pipes and things to let off the gas and stuff like that, and it's monitored to make sure it's not leaking toxins.
We monitor it for both, for greenhouse gas emissions and for groundwater quality.
Wow.
Yeah. So they've all been within spec.
Yeah, there's a park where I used to live in Seattle, in Genesee Park, that was a huge landfill.
Oh, yeah.
And they filled that in, and there's still pipes sticking out of it to let those things go, whatever anaerobic activity is going on down there.
I think the landfill in Clickitat County generates all of its internal power, electricity, from methane collection.
It has about a 97% capture rate.
That's
for
fantastic.
Methane.
Wow.
Yeah, then it uses that to power a generator to put electricity on the grid.
Oh, maybe eventually those long-haul trucks will be electric and they can charge them as well.
It's trucks down to Tacoma, and then it goes by rail, I believe, Tacoma over.
Even better, more efficient. Absolutely. Yeah. Cool.
I do want to take a little bit to talk about the capital planning. Mm-hmm. Like, what have we found out so far? We've done mostly kind of site selections and narrowing it down?
Not yet. Yeah, the first four meetings were really kind of foundational meetings to get everybody up to speed on what the data was telling us to develop the criteria for both for the design of a conceptual transfer station. This project won't deliver us blueprints at the end. It'll deliver us a conceptual layout of a facility and ID where it should be. So there's two separate sets of criteria. One's for design of the facility. What features should it have? What services should it provide? And then moving from there, once we have an understanding of what we want it to do, then we'll move into broad area site screening, which will, we've got a list of a number of criteria that are kind of pass or fail criteria. So, we don't want to build it on the side of a hill. We don't want to build it in the middle of a wetland. It shouldn't be on prime ag soils.
Right.
It shouldn't be in any neighborhood's backyard. You know, these are kind of the intuitive guidelines that you'd want to set for yourself. And our own Jefferson County Code, Title 18, I think it is, has some really good criteria for site selection for essential public facilities, whatever they be.
Right.
And so once we have an understanding of what we want to be when we grow up, then we'll we'll move into where should we be when we grow up.
Yeah, yeah.
I keep jumping ahead to that. At every meeting, I'm like, so where's it going to be?
It's not going to be where it is now, is essentially.
It may. That'll be the first thing that we look at. So what we'll do is we'll attribute a footprint to each of the features of the facility that we want.
Right.
Get an understanding of what its total footprint would look at. We'll look at traffic layout. Is it possible to have separate lanes, bypass lanes, separate entrances and exits for different customer types? Can we separate commercial loads from residential self-haul loads? All these things. So we'll look at a number of different sites. So the broad area site screening will bring down from more than 20 sites that we've identified that we should look at or consider based on some rough criteria. We'll narrow that down to three or four, and that work will be presented to the task force at its next meeting. We may have two more meetings, one for design criteria and one for site selection. Mm-hmm. We may combine that meeting into like a half a day meeting, 2-hour sessions with a lunch break. What the feedback we're getting from the task force is they, like Commissioner Brotherton, want to get to the meat of it. Like, when are we actually going to figure
when
out
and where?
Where it should be and what it should do.
Right.
And so based on that feedback, we've revised the timeline and the meeting schedule so that we can kind of consolidate that work. Staff and the consultant are going to take on some of the other some work that we would have otherwise run through the task force. We'll take that on. These are like pass-fail criteria for the broader area site screening, stuff that we don't really need to burden the task force with reviewing that. So we'll bring our methodology and our conclusions or results to the task force and present them and answer any questions, identify whether the, you know, our criteria was misplaced or we missed something.
Yeah. That's cool. I'm afraid we're about a minute away from wrapping this up.
Can I just say, when do you think Al will have something to share with the public and an opportunity for the public to give feedback on the work that this task force is doing?
Probably in August. Either August or September, we'll have the first of two large public meetings to present the task force and staff and the consultants' work. So, yeah.
Very cool. All right. This has been County Connections with my co-host, Greg Bretherton, my guest, our guest, Al Cairns, solid waste manager for Jefferson County. Thank you, Al. Thank you to our listeners for listening to all this. And if you want to know more, you can, what was the URL for the, survey again?
Sure. Directly to get to that, JeffersonCountyFacilityReplacement.com or JeffersonCountySolidWaste.com.
And they'll direct you to the survey. All right. I've got a special song here. It's actually called The Bottomless Hole from the Handsome Family. And we're going to see if this plays properly off of my little stick.
Thanks so much, Jim.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me, Jim. 30 minutes goes fast.
It does, I know. It's...
My name I don't remember, though I hail from Ohio. I had a wife and children, good tires on my car. What took me from my home and put me in the earth was the mouth of a deep, dark hole.